ॐ शुक्लां वरदरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ We have done up to Nama number 875. Preeti Vardhanaha, the increaser of joy of those who worship him. See, the simple rule of life is, or law of life is, that no selfish person will be happy. No unselfish person will be unhappy. It's a law of life. The more egoistic you become, the more egocentric you become in life, the less happy you will be. The more you dissolve your ego, the more joy you will experience in life. It's a very simple thing. So, when you move closer and closer to Vishnu, the center of your personality, the divinity, the truth, the essence, the reality, the Satyam. As the sun rises, the snow melts, the ice melts. Similarly, as you get closer and closer to the center, the ego dissolves. And when the ego dissolves, you become more inclusive, all inclusive in life, not exclusive. Thereby, there will be a lot more joy in your life. So, Preeti Vardhanaha. So from this, what do we understand? The more we become egoistic, as a result of which we will be more attached and possessive. And it is our attachment and possessiveness that steals our joy. When we drop, when we let go the attachment and possessiveness, instantly we become joyful. Happiness increases automatically. So, anybody who understands this, cannot be selfish at all, impossible. The more selfish you become, instantly you will see there's too much of agitation coming in your life. World is the same. It is not changing. The same for you, same for everybody else also. But you can be happy by rising above your ego. And when you get closer to Vishnu, when you get closer to the center, the ego melts. So it increases joy. So Preeti Vardhanaha means one who increases the joy, the increaser of joy. You know, as you get closer and closer to the self, you forget this little self. That's why even when you do a job, any work which you really love, you forget yourself. And you will be in heaven. The moment you start remembering yourself, instantly sorrow comes. So the joy is in self-forgetfulness. The forgetfulness of this ego, the fake personality. So therefore, the more we recollect and remember the Lord increases our joy. So Preeti Vardhanaha, very interesting nama. Let's get on to the next shloka. Vihaya Sagatir Jyotihi, Vihaya Sagatir Jyotihi, सुरुचिर हुता भुक् विभु रविर विरोचन सूर्य रविर विरोचन सूर्य सवितार विलोचन सवितार विलोचन विहाय सगतिर ज्योति सुरुचिर हुता भुक् विभु रविर विरोचन सूर्य सवितार विलोचन Vihayasa Gatihi. Vihayasa means pertaining to the spatial or aerial route. Gati means path. So one who moves, that's what it means. What it means is, Dehayasa Gati means one who moves in space. Basically, he's talking about sun. Lord Vishnu here is addressed as Surya Narayana. Surya Narayana is what it refers to when he says Vihayasa Gati, one who is traveling in the heaven, the space. So the Lord is traveling in the space as sun, giving light and vitality to this entire universe. And that is the Lord. So therefore he is called as Vihayasa Gati, travels in heaven. The more you identify with the divinity, you will also be giving light to others. Whoever gets closer to you, you will also be giving them calmness and clarity and vitality. They get energized by seeing you. Because you have that calmness and clarity, you know, when you get to the self, or when you get closer and closer to the self. You not have completely merged with the self. Even when you get closer to the self, you get that clarity and calmness. When anyone comes closer to you, you are able to vitalize them, give them the same calmness. So, Vihayasa Gatihi, it refers to Surya Narayana, the divine self. And then Jyotihi. Jyotihi refers to light. Jyotihi means awareness. Light, it is self-effulgent. It is not dependent on anybody for its effulgent. It lends light to the insentient body, mind and intellect. It is the awareness principle. He that shines of his own accord. Narayana is the supreme light. We are all able to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, think, act, borrowing that light of Vishnu. So Vishnu is the source from whom we borrow, and then we are, you know, experiencing all this. Perceptions, actions, emotions and thoughts. So that is called Jyoti. The real light of this entire universe. The enlivening principle. The source of awareness. Consciousness. That is Vishnu. The light. So Jyoti means light. Awareness. Suruchihi. Su ruchihi. Su means auspiciousness. Shobana. Su means auspicious. Ruchihi means desire. Glorious desire. This entire universe is looked upon in the scriptures as the sankalpa of the Lord. The sankalpa. Sankalpa means thoughts. This entire universe is mentioned as the will of the Lord, desire of the Lord. The vasana, the total vasana is called as maya. The maya shakti is the total vasanas, and the total vasanas is enlivened by the divinity, and then the divinity is expressing through these vasanas as the world. Therefore, he says suruchihi means glorious desire. See, now desire, when you say, it talks about an unfulfillment. You see, desire itself is nothing but an expression that comes out of unfulfillment. You are the divinity. You do not know that you are that divinity. And when you do not understand that you are the divinity, you imagine yourself to be this limited individual. The moment you conceive yourself as this limited individual, then there is a lack. There is something that you lack. So fulfill that lack. It's actually imaginary. But you have it. What to do? So, you do not know that it is imaginary. You have that lack. But to fulfill the lack, your thoughts go to the world outside. So the stream of thoughts that are flowing from you to the world outside, to feel a completeness, a sense of completeness, is called desire. So it is not as if the God was agitated, not complete. He was feeling miserable, and to feel complete, he created this world. No. Therefore, he uses the word su ruchihi. You understand? What it means is, it is not out of incompleteness to feel complete, he created this world. Out of his fullness, this expression came out. You know, when you become paripurna, you lose your ego and then you start dancing. Out of happiness, you start distributing sweets to everyone. So, in that sense, the world has emerged out of Brahman. Hence, it's called the Suruchi. Not just desire, it is auspicious. See, in the weddings, in Indian weddings especially, you feed all the guests as much as possible. And those fellows also, they eat fully. Now, the only thing that at any given point in time, when they take, they cannot take beyond a point, is food. Gold and all, if you give, even if you give 5,000 kilos, they'll say a little more. Maybe just 2 more kilos if you give, it will be nice. Then if you give 10,000 kilos, they'll still ask for more. But food, if you give them, if they eat, how much they can eat? Whatever amount they can eat, they leave, and then they'll say, Baba, enough, full, bahut ho gaya. Abhi santusht ho gaya. Then when they are so happy, the bride and the bride group, they take the blessings. Out of that fullness, they'll always be saying, may you live long, may you both live happily, etc. So, that kind of wish will always be auspicious and good. You know? So that kind of expression is what he calls this world as, something that is emerged out of Brahman, out of his fullness, out of his playfulness, this has come out. So Suruchihi, it is the will of Lord Narayana. The will of Lord Narayana, he himself has come out as this universe. Then Puta Book. Puta Book is the next Nama, which means the consumer of all oblations. Now, during Yajna, you may offer the oblations to the fire, chanting certain mantras to be given to a particular devata to fulfill certain desires. So, fire god is only a messenger who takes your message to that particular devata, and the devata blesses you with the result if you perform the yajna properly. But actually, even though you are offering it to that devata, who is actually consuming it? It is the Lord who is the real enjoyer. The ultimate enjoyer is Bhagavan Vishnu, who is the Lord of all devas. So, that's why in the Gita also it says, ignorant people will offer it to devas. Wise person will directly offer it to me. Why you have to come through some source? If you take care of, if you offer to Vishnu, through the devatas, whatever you need, you will get. And if you don't understand that, then you will be offering it to the respective devatas. So, Puta Book, one who receives and enjoys all that is offered into the sacred fire during the Vedic rituals, yajnas or others. So, you may be offering it to a particular deity, but it is the Lord Narayana who receives them all, finally. Ultimately, he is the one who consumes everything that you offer. And then, he is the one who delivers the results through the particular devata. To the particular set of devatas. So therefore, Puta Bhuk, one who enjoys all that you offer, is Lord Vishnu. So when you understand this, then all your activities will be performed in this world as an offering to the Lord. Thereafter, you won't be doing anything for receiving anything. You may receive finally, that is a different thing. But you won't offer it to receive. You just offer it as an oblation to Vishnu. But you will be blessed with whatever is necessary in life. So, you may be offering it to different gods, but it is actually being enjoyed by the Lord only. And He protects the offerings. So, Bhuj means to protect. Uta, Bhuk, which means He is the real enjoyer. And where is He? Vibhu. Vibhu means all pervading, sitting within you. Is sitting within you also? Is it outside everywhere else? So, you can offer everything to the core of your personality, the self that is sitting within you, unconditioned by time or space. He is eternal, omnipresent. He is the Lord of all the three worlds, the waking, dream and deep sleep. So that's what the term Vibhu means, one who is all-pervading, the all-pervading reality, the all-pervader. He is everywhere, sitting and watching what you are doing as a sakshi also. Deep inside us, sitting and watching all our activities. A witness. He is everywhere. He is the Lord of the three worlds. The waking, dream and deep sleep. Then, Ravihi. Ravihi means one who illuminates and absorbs from you. Who absorbs the vapor, rasa from everything is called Ravihi. Ravihi is one who absorbs the rasa from everything. So, as Surya Narayana, which he talked about before, you know, he takes away the entire essence from the ocean and then releases them as rain. The sun takes away the waters to release the same 1,000-fold as rain. So, without Surya Narayana, there won't be rain. You know, from this huge reservoir of ocean, he takes the water and then pours down as rain where it is required. A beautiful system of distribution. So, Ravihi, one who absorbs the essence. Ravihi. And then, Virochanaha. Virochanaha means one who shines in different beings, different forms. You can contemplate upon the Lord in various forms. It doesn't matter which form you worship. So, you can worship Lord in any form. Otherwise, you will be thinking, I have to worship the Lord in this particular form only. Thing like that. Lord is formless and He is all forms. All forms are His form and essentially He is formless. And of various splendors, Virochana also means of various splendors such as sun and the moon. All these, you know, luminaries are His splendor only. The splendor of divinity, in fact, in the 11th chapter of the Gita, He says, if 1,000 suns were to rise at the same time, the splendor of those 1,000 suns will be nothing compared to the splendor of Mahavishnu. That's what it says. So, Virochanaha means one who is of various splendor, who is only giving light and then reflected sun is what you see in the moon and reflected Vishnu is what you see in the sun. Sun itself you cannot see. Then imagine the splendor of divinity, Virochana. So, Virochana is so the splendor is so much that you cannot see. What it means is, divinity cannot be experienced by your equipments. In that splendor, you have to dissolve and allow the splendor to express through you. So, Virochana, one who shines in different forms. So, next one is Suryaha. Suryaha means the source from which everything has come out. All things have been born, or out of which they have been delivered. The very, very first cause of this entire universe is Vishnu. Out of himself or herself or itself, the world has evolved. He brings forth all. Just like how from the mind, from the waker's mind, the dream world comes. Dream world has come from the waker's mind. Similarly, he brings forth the splendor. So to bring forth what Suryaha means, he brings forth all. He brings forth all the splendor. All splendor that you see in the world, you should be reminded of the divinity. The problem is, when we see that, we get lost in that splendor. When you do something great and people appreciate you, oh wow, you know, you are so beautiful, you are so great, and they talk about your splendor. If you understand this, then you understand actually the splendor belongs to divinity. It's not mine. Or it is mine from that absolute angle, not from this relative angle. So that's what Suryaha means. Savita, that's the next nama. He who brings forth all the universe. He is called Ravi because he takes away the juices. And he is called Savita as he produces all beings. See, Surya does both. It is behind the creativity. It is behind absorption of all the energies. You know, when you go out in the sun, my God, it's too hot. I don't have energy now. Absorbs. And it is by drinking the water that is given because of the sun, you get back the energy. So Surya, Savita, Ravi, all means nothing but Narayana only. One who brings forth from himself, the self-functioning to the sun is called Savita. Ravi Lochanaha. In the beginning of this Vishnu Sahasranama, when we did Dhyanam, you remember there was a particular shloka we did. Bhupadau yasya nabhirvyat asuranila chandra suryau chanetre. Bhupadau yad asuranila chandra suryau chanetre. So the netra, you know, he's talking about Vishwarupa of Lord. When the Lord has taken the Vishwarupa, the head is the heaven and feet is the earth. Means he covers the entire universe. And Surya and Chandra are the netras, meaning the eyes. So that's what he's saying. Lochana. Ravi Lochana. The eyes of Mahavishnu are the sun and the moon. See, this Vishwarupa Darshana, when you talk about the Lord as the entire universe. The head is heaven, feet is earth, eyes are the sun, moon, etc. What we need to understand is, we may individually be thinking that we are this limited individual, separate from each other. But now, for example, if you take your own body from head to toe, your whole body itself is a universe. Do you understand that? There are trillions of species living in your body. You understand that, right? There's too many bacteria and this and that. Even after you have taken bath and you've cleaned yourself fully well, you look into your skin, you look into your eyelashes there through the microscope, you can see too many invisible species. So, this body in which there are too many species living, but this whole body, you have the feeling that you are one individual. This is the thing. So we are like those bacteria in this entire cosmos. In this entire cosmos, we are like those bacteria. You understand? And in that, the sun and the moon is the eyes, is it? When you pictureize that and understand, what immediately happens is, you understand the insignificance of this ego. No, a colleague of mine, we've been putting in efforts last 1 year to start a center in Punjab. So I had gone for lectures there. We had given Gita Gyana Yajna in March in Chandigarh. We also had classes in Ludhiana. Now, my colleague is doing those classes there. Only once in a year I go there for lecture. So, you know, when we do these classes there, somebody invited my colleague to come and give talk to these badminton players who are, some of them are already champions in India. Some of them are planning to take badminton as their career, etc. So the different age groups are there. 15, 16, 20, 24, like that. So she went to address them yesterday. So she was talking to me what kind of points would be relevant for these players, etc. And when she came back and she was sharing their issues with me, almost everyone, they are saying, if we lose the match, we become upset. Or even while playing, how much ever we think of not thinking of the result, we think of the result. My winning, my career, my. That thought comes, the moment it comes, it destroys. The moment it comes, it destroys. The way to gain anything is to lose it. So, when you understand this, when you pictureize this as you are chanting Vishnu Sahasranama, when he says, eyes, his eyes are the sun and moon, Ravi Lochana, then you are just a small infinitesimal portion in this entire universe. With all your achievements. Supposing you made the $1 trillion in your lifetime. Not that you took something from your parents and then you made more. Let's say you started from scratch and you made $1 trillion. Still it is infinitesimal. You have written 1 trillion books, given so much of knowledge. Still it is infinitesimal. Whatever may be the glory, is so tiny in comparison to that. So instantly you become humble. That's why I said, when you study Vishnu Sahasranama, you become pure, purified. It cleanses you. It cleanses you of all your ego. So Ravi Lochanaha, the Virat form of the Lord, the huge form of the Lord. This entire universe is nothing but the manifestation of the Lord. When you understand that, then you will be the spoke in the wheel of life. I must win my victory, my defeat. There is no victory, defeat of yours. Everything belongs to the Lord. You are just a instrument in the hands of Totaka. So when you understand that, then you will play. You know, I don't know how many of you follow tennis or any sport for that matter. But in tennis, many, many years ago, in the finals of Wimbledon, there was a match between Boris Becker and Michael Stich. It was the first match for Michael Stich, I think, first Wimbledon, and he was in the finals. Michael Stich is also from Germany. Boris Becker is also from Germany. And Becker had already won two championships, Wimbledon. When they were facing each other, everybody expected Becker to win, but Michael Stich won. Always when I watch all these Grand Slam tournaments, I also sit and listen to the interview given by these players after that. That you learn a lot from them. When Michael Stich spoke, he said, "Listen, I had nothing to lose because I was playing against my idol. Becker is my idol. I'd grown up idolizing Becker, you know. So here am I playing against my own idol. So if I lose, what is the big deal? I have nothing to lose." So he played so coolly and he won the match. The moment you say, "I must win, I comes," you're not playing the game just as a sportsman. You're playing it now to win. You know that the possessiveness comes. So when you worship the Lord, His eyes absorbs the ego from you. And when your ego is gone, He pours the rain of results to you. He pours the rain of results to you, being the Surya. So He has this Ravi Lochana. So when you look at the eyes of the Lord, it is so transfixing that He can completely take you within Himself. Meaning what? He absorbs your ego. He absorbs you into Him. By absorbing you into Him, He makes you infinite, dropping all the finite. That is what Ravi Lochanaha means. So when you understand this, you will always be functioning as an instrument. You function as an instrument. There is no stress, no strain, nothing. There will only be enjoyment. Physical body may get tired, but there is no fatigue, mental fatigue. Otherwise, you are having mental fatigue. All of us need to understand. You enjoy both your victory and defeat, you enjoy. Because you play your game to the best of your ability. So Ravi Lochana, 885. The next shloka. Ananto huta bhuk bhokta, ananto huta bhuk bhokta, sukado naika jor gajaha, sukado naika jor gajaha, anir vinna sada marshi, lokadishtana matputaha, lokadishtana matputaha, ananto huta bhuk bhokta, sukado naika jor gajaha, anir vinna sada marshi, lokadishtana matputaha. Ananta. Ananta means endless. Who is not conditioned by time or place. That is called Ananta. The self is infinite. This infinite self, which is Ananta, has no form. Form is only of something that has a beginning and end. Ananta means that it has no beginning, no end. So it is formless. Ananta. It is all pervading. It is everywhere. It is unlimited by space, time or substance. Now time, space and causation doesn't limit. It is infinite. And being infinite, it is in the form of the divine serpent Adishesha, meaning the substratum of all the manifested energies. You know, when you say snake, snake is always coiled. So it is shown as if Lord Vishnu is sleeping on a big, huge snake which is coiled. The bed of snake. The snake is the bed for Lord Vishnu, which he is sleeping. Meaning what? The basis of this energy from which this entire universe has come out is Vishnu, the consciousness. So it is Ananta, infinite. And it infinitely manifests eternally as this universe. Then again, he says, Putabuk, the protector of the sacrifice, the same name which he gave in 8:29, which we just now saw, you know, just few namas before he said Putabuk. Now also he says Putabuk. In the beginning, in the introduction, I told you, there are certain namas repeated again and again in the Vishwasahasranama for 3 or 4 times, 2 times, etc. So Putabuk is one. One who accepts the things devotedly poured as oblations into the sacred fire. So, when you offer it to Vishnu, he takes it. When he takes it, you are blessed. So, he is the consumer of all your oblations. And Bhokta is the real enjoyer. One who enjoys the objects of emotions, thoughts, through the equipments of body, mind, intellect. The self alone enjoys being inside. All these are instruments of experiences. You know, this mind, intellect, etc. are the instruments through which who is ultimately enjoying? The self within as a witness. Everything goes into, see, you seeing something, the color and form is going into your eyes. Through your eyes, it goes to the mind. And then ultimately behind the mind, what is there? The consciousness. So sitting inside as the consciousness, he is the one who is enjoying whole tamasha. Sitting as a witness. So he is the bhokta. Bhoktaram yajna tapasa. We have read that before. So the enjoyer of the insentient matter, the protector of the universe, that's what Bhokta means. One who protects the universe. Sukadaha. Sukadaha means one who offers bliss, one who confers bliss. The conferor of bliss. Sukadaha. One who gives the experience of eternal bliss to the devotees. See, when you do yajna, taking your offering, he blesses you with results. The moment you experience this, you gave and in turn you get bliss. You gave and in turn you get bliss. Then you would want to live a life of only giving, not taking. No? So, through yajna, it teaches you to finally sacrifice your ego itself completely. The ego is finally sacrificed completely, then what remains is infinite bliss. So he confers bliss when he takes it. It may appear from outside that he is taking everything and he is enjoying. But by enjoying all that, it gives you ultimate self-realization of infinite bliss. That is the meaning of this term. Bhokta, Naikajaha, having numerous births. He's taken numerous births to protect Dharma. You know. So Naikajaha means one who is not born just once. First of all, he is also called as Ajaha, birthless. See, these two contradictory terms you will see always. Ajaha means unborn. Naikajaha means what? Not just born once. One who is born not only once. Many times. All the manifestations are nothing but the divinity. So he is born every day. At the same time, he is Ajaha also. In every different forms. He is taken avatars. Talk about Dasha Avatara. That is only if you are going for the Puranic angle. Otherwise, if you look at it intellectually, all the species that is manifested in this world and are continuously manifesting are all nothing but divinity taking birth. Isn't it? Divinity taking birth, manifesting itself. So Naikajaha. And then the next one is very interesting. It is Agrajaha. Agrajaha means the firstborn. Why does he call Lord Vishnu as the firstborn? From him only the world has come. So he is the firstborn. From him this entire universe has come. Before this universe comes, the thought comes. And before the thought, the individual is. And that is Vishnu. So he says, Agrajaha. Agrajaha means one who is the firstborn. Naturally, he is the first one. Only then, from him everything can come. He is a source. So you are Agrajaha. From you, this entire universe has come. And that is Vishnu. Anirvinnaha. One who feels no disappointment. Anirvinnaha. One of the meanings is one who feels no dejection. One who knows no dejection. Dejection is there only if your desires are not fulfilled. When you have no desires or when you have all your desires fulfilled, where is the question of dejection? He is complete, paripurna. There is nothing to be achieved. When there is nothing to be achieved, where is the question of being dejected? There is no dejection. Out of paripurnatvam, when you are functioning, there is no dejection. When you do not want anything, how can anybody upset you? How can anybody give you sorrow? How can anybody make you depressed? Only if you are expecting something, then there is possibility of dejection. In the case of Vishnu, there is no expectations whatsoever. Therefore, there is no dejection. Because all his desires are either fulfilled or he has no desires also. Both ways you can look at it. Anirvinnaha. See, this word Anirvinna is something that we need to contemplate upon. When your thoughts are taken to the level of Vishnu, there is no dejection. The moment you forget Vishnu and you come down to action with some expectations, then there is dejection. You know, if you really understand what the Gita said, there won't be any dejection. It says, your right is only in action, never to the fruit. So you do whatever happens, the result comes from Vishnu. You have accepted. Then where is the question of dejection? See, a person who functions with knowledge has no dejection. Because he has no expectations. Or expectation of the expectations to be fulfilled, he doesn't have. See, naturally, when you do something, you are planning to get a certain result. That is okay. But to expect that result to happen as a condition, you know, then there is dejection. So there is this ego that I'm showing this seed must come out as a tree. You remember that poem, Olive Tree, we always talk about. Two hermits, for their midnight prayer, they wanted olive oil. So they said, let's plant the sapling. One day it will grow and start giving us olive. So they both planted the olive tree. One fellow was constantly asking, oh God, give me this, give me that. Give my olive tree sun. Give my olive tree rain. Give my olive tree shade. And the poet says, as his benison he gave. Meaning as he was requested. As he requested, everything was given. But his olive tree died. He went to see what happened to the olive tree of his friend. And nicely that olive tree was coming up nicely. So he said, how is this? He is asking that friend, how is it my brother, tell? My olive tree died, yours is thriving, how is it possible? Then he said, I entrusted my little one to him, he who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. Laid eye on him, no conditions. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. See, we cannot understand the entire plan. Not possible. From a particular angle, it looks like it is something that is not good for us. But from a different angle, it could be a blessing. But you don't know. We don't know that. So the moment you gain this knowledge, you will not have any conditions. You will accept all conditions. No doubt, you do things to bring about a certain results, but there won't be attachment. You will be anirvinna. When you do not have that attachment, then there is no condition as such. You know? And there is no condition as such, there is no, what do you call it? Dejection. Neither does he or she has any condition, nor will he expect or put condition to others. So, you don't condition yourself or compartmentalize yourself into anything. Otherwise, you will be full of dejections in life. That's why you see, you know, all of us have dejections. And you might have 10 expectations out of which 7 is fulfilled. But the 3 is not fulfilled. That dejection supersedes all your fulfillments. Oh, life will be miserable because the 3 things did not fulfill. 7 got fulfilled. But these 3 didn't fulfill. So you will be full of dejection. He who knows no dejection. Anir Vinna. Simply goes about expressing with no expectations whatsoever. Becoming totally independent of others' contribution or not contributing. He continues to contribute. If you can take that kind of understanding from the Shastra, you will also be absolutely, you know, joyful. Then Sada Marshi, you always forgives, especially people who are dharmic, good people. One who ever forgives the trespasses of all his devotees, one who is infinitely merciful and kind. See, what he means is, only his devotees he'll be, you know, forgiving. Others he doesn't forgive. Not in that sense. It's not, if you are a worshipper or devotee of Ganpati, he will not forgive you. See, this is very interesting. Sada Marshi means always forgiving. One who always forgives. Because when you are trying to rise above your ego and establish yourself in the self, it's not easy. Sometimes you may succumb to your temptations, desires, and you may do certain things. This child understands. The coach understands. You know, when you're trying to become something in sports, and the coach is giving you the training, and sometimes you do get involved. He understands. He forgives and accepts you as you are. That's what he means by saying Sada Marshi. Yeah, as you chant the Nama of the Lord, Sada Marshi, and keep remembering that forgiveness, you will also seek forgiveness and you will also be forgiving everyone. You will also develop that trait. You are not interested in revenge. You are only interested in reforming. The Lord is not interested in revenge. He is only interested in reforming. So therefore, always forgiving. Forgiving is actually giving at the mental level. Forgiving is giving at the mental level. Coming down and understanding from that person's angle. That is called forgiving. Sada Marshi. Then Lokadhisthanam. Lokadhisthanam means the foundation. Adhisthan, the support, the basis of the three worlds. The one soul substratum for the entire universe of things and beings. The entire dream world is projected upon that one waker's mind. So one waker's mind is the adhisthanam of the dreams, all the dreams. So loka adhisthanam. Loka also means experiences. So the basis of all your experiences is Atma. So when we go through the experiences, we should shift our attention towards the basis, the source, the Atma, not on the experiences, and then get lost. But to shift our attention from what we experience to what makes us experience, which is this Adhisthana and Adbhutam. Next Nama, 895. Adbhutam. Adbhutam means wonderful, wondrous. That's what Adbhutam means. Wonderful, when you say, means wow. Wow. When you say wow, which means what? It's beyond your intellect. You cannot conceive of it. Can't think of it. It is everywhere, yet you can't see it. It is the source of everything, yet you cannot, You don't know. Without Atma, you cannot do anything. Yet, you don't know. It's everywhere. You can't see. You can't feel. You can't think. It is a real self. You don't know. It is Adbhutam. Ascharyam. Adbhutam. Wonderful. So, when you hear of the Lord's glories, it is so infinite that you will say, my God, it's wonderful. So it's beyond your intellect. That's what wonderful means. When you say something wonderful, it is beyond your conception. You can't imagine the glory. So in the Gita, chapter 2, verse 29, he says, one who sees him like a wonder, one who hears of him as wonder, yet nobody knows of him. That is wonderful. Meaning, everything that you see is divinity, and yet you cannot directly see the divinity. Beyond your mind and intellect. That's what wonderful means. Beyond your mind and intellect. You cannot feel it. You cannot think of it. You cannot speak of it. You cannot hear, smell, taste, touch of it. And you cannot hear, smell, taste anything without it. Your eyes cannot see it. Your eyes cannot see without it. Your ears cannot hear divinity. But your ears cannot hear anything without divinity. So it's ascharya. It's wonderful. It's adbhutam. Beyond human conception. You can't even fathom. It is so infinite. So with your equipments, do not try to understand the divinity. So in other words, when you read all these things, what comes to your mind again and again is, self-realization is not an achievement. Self-realization is a dissolution process. When the ego is dissolved, what remains is divinity. You cannot achieve the self. You dissolve the ego, and what remains is divinity. So the very process of spirituality is the process of dissolution. It's not the process of conquering. It's not the process of dominating. That is not spirituality. Spirituality is the process of dissolution. It's the process of dissolving oneself. You know, in bhakti. When the thread is soaked in the oil, when the wick is, not the wick, is soaked in the oil, you light it with the fire, it shines and gives light to the surrounding. Similarly, the wick is your personality, the ego. It needs to be soaked in the oil of devotion. Then it can catch the fire of knowledge. Then with that fire of knowledge, ego, the wick, will be burnt completely. As you live life burning your ego, dissolving your ego, your life will be shining and there will be harmony in and around and within the place where you live. So therefore that is spiritual living. It is adbhutam. You cannot know it through domination, but through sublimation, he has no choice but to reveal himself. You know? The moment you out of helplessness throw your arms and say, "Oh Bhagavan, accept me fully," then he comes to your rescue. That is what the story we see, whether it is Draupadi's case or any case, you see, the moment you completely surrender. But the surrendering is not blind surrendering. Surrendering with this understanding. Then that wonderful self reveals to you. Otherwise, it will just be a matter of words that you have heard from few people who wouldn't know it. Your mind and intellect cannot conceive it. So we have done up to 895, we'll stop here. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti. Om Ayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Budhyatmanava Prakriti Svabhavat Karomi Adyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami.